I love Christmas time. And may I say, I know some of our snowbirds and our warm weather loving friends that listen to our messages online. I love the coldness and the snowiness that I know of as Christmas. I really do. I like the Christmas. I know some of you are looking at me saying, "Now you're in your 40s. You wait, you know." Listen, I don't like shoveling snow, but I'd like it better than hurricanes. I like it better than mudslides and all the other things that come along with warm weather. I really do. I love the 4C. I love Christmas time. And by the way, I loved it before I had small kids, but small kids make Christmas time pretty awesome. How many of you grandparents could say amen to that? Amen. Really, I think of it as a time of, Christmas is a time of gathering together. How I, as an only child, remember the days when Christmas time would come, and it would be just me and my mom and my dad, and then we'd have the morning together, and then we'd pack up, and you'd take that favorite toy that you couldn't part with, amen, and go with you, and we'd go over to my grandmother's house, and all my cousins, I had 10 first cousins, we would come together and just gather together. I think about those times, just wonderful times, play back in memory's garden, amen. I think of Christmas as a time of considering others, that we seek to be a blessing more so at Christmas time. Don't know why that is. It just we get a little bit more touched by others and their needs and things that they have at Christmas time. I think about Christmas time as a time of giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. By the way, the Bible says this in Acts 20:35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. If you notice, and listen, I'm big on words in the Bible. It doesn't say it's not blessed to receive. It's, listen, you say, "Pastor, do you like getting gifts?" Yes, I do. Amen. It's a blessing to me when my wife gets me a gift, or my mom, or somebody. But it says it's more blessed to give. You learn that at Christmas time. It is, by the way, it is that greatest gift of all that was given, that we remember at Christmas time. I think about it's a time of gathering, and it's a time of considering others and giving and receiving. It's a time of tradition. Some of you have traditions that you do each Christmas time. We have a tradition that we go get our Christmas tree on the first Saturday of December, and then we decorate it, and we make cocoa and cookies and all those things, and watch It's a Wonderful Life, and all those Christmas traditions that go along with it. By the way, the tradition that we've had in our family for years, no matter when Christmas falls, this year it falls on a Sunday. I pity the preacher's kids when Christmas falls on a Sunday. "Daddy, can we open our presents?" "Not till after church." Amen. But what we do first is we sit on the couch, and we open the Bible to Luke chapter 2. And we read verses 1 through 20. My wife and I have been doing that all of our married life. 20 years we open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, read verses 1 through 20. Why? Because that's what Christmas is all about. It's all about Jesus, amen. And so I think about that. I think about those traditions. I think it's a time of gathering and considering and giving and receiving tradition. I think of it as Christmas being a time of cheer. We use that term, Christmas cheer, or good cheer, amen, to all. That's a time that we know of at Christmas time. And by the way, it is a time of good cheer. Why? Because God the Son took on human flesh that He might take away our sin and take on the devil and hell, and He won. Didn't He? Hey, we're on the winning side, ladies and gentlemen, amen, because of what happened that so many years ago in Bethlehem's manger, amen. Thank God. The context of our text today in Matthew chapter 9, it takes place in what's referred to as Jesus' Galilean ministry. His Galilean ministry, there, of course, obviously in Galilee, starts with His second miracle, which is what we call the healing of the nobleman's son in John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. By the way, I'd like to encourage you, if you don't have one, you ought to get you a good harmony of the Gospels. You say, what is that, Pastor? What it does is it chronologically takes you through Jesus' life. And it'll take you in Matthew and Mark and Luke and then John and put all the verses together. Sometimes we read the Bible and we think, well, this all happened in chronological order. Sometimes the events are in different orders through the different gospel writers. A good harmony of the gospels, it's really a blessing to look at that and to follow. And so he starts off with this healing of the nobleman's son in John chapter 4. And his Galilean ministry ends in Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56, with the rejection of the Samaritans. And Brother Jeff, I was reading that, studying that, and I found that to be remarkable. That the Samaritans, who Jesus used in illustration, who Jesus went 85 miles out of his way to deal with the woman at the well, who was a Samaritan. We know the parable of the good Samaritan. We know that there were 10 lepers and one came back who was a Samaritan. That at the end of his Galilean ministry would end with the rejection of the Samaritans is just incredible. That this portion, this Galilean ministry of Jesus, it's characterized by great miracles like we read in our chapter. We read of Jairus' daughter being healed from death. Amen. One of three that the Bible records. We talk a little bit about the woman with the issue of blood, but great miracles. I love the passages during this ministry where it says, and great multitudes came to him and he healed them all. Of divers disease, of various diseases, he healed them all. Great miracles. You know, this portion of Jesus' ministry has not only great miracles, but a great sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And within that are such great teaching. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Hey, a wise man built his house upon the rock. Who is he that's wise but he that heareth the word of God and doeth it? And is also in this, not only is there great miracles, a great sermon, great teaching, there's great parables. The kingdom of heaven is like unto Matthew chapter 13. We have those kingdom parables. Great, great parables. In the chronological order, if you're back in Matthew, go back to Matthew chapter 8 and we find kind of the following here, that Jesus heals a leper. Last week we talked about Simon the leper. This could very well be him. I don't know. The Bible does not record when it was, but Matthew chapter 8 verses 1 through 4 says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Amen. That's just awesome to think about. Someone with this dreaded disease of leprosy, that his only future was that parts of him were going to become more leprous and begin to fall off. That he just said, you know what? I've heard, if you will, you can make me clean. And he said, I will. Be thou clean. Amen. And so then we're brought to one of the richest accounts in the Bible in Matthew chapter 9. We read about it in chapter 9 verses 1 through 8. It's what we call the healing of the paralytic. It's also in Mark chapter 2, a bit more of a detailed account, chapter 2, 1 through 12. And then Luke chapter 5 verses 17 through 26. If you would, just by way of introduction, look with me at this man's condition. It says in verse 2, it says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. Some sort of paralysis of his nervous system had taken over, and his condition was he was not going to get better. He was paralyzed and bedridden. We don't know how old he was, but whether he was a young man or a middle-aged man, his condition was simple. He had the palsy. Not only do we read about his condition, but we read about the compassion. Verse 2 says, and behold, they brought to him a man. In Mark chapter 2, we have the more detailed account of the story, and some of you remember it, where he the Bible says he was born of four. That means four men carried him, probably one on each corner of the bed, and they carried him along. We don't know how far, but they brought him to Jesus. And then when they got there, there were so many people around the house, they couldn't get in. And that if they could have, they could have just said, well, you know what, we brought him this far. I mean, this is as far as we can go. I mean, we just can't. But they didn't do that. They looked around, and with great ingenuity and with great tenacity and with great opportunity, they said, you know what, let's climb up. Let's break up that roof. And probably the homeowner didn't feel that way, amen. But we read the story. They broke up the roof, and then they took the ropes, and they let him down inch by inch. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, not only was there his condition, but there was the compassion of others. Oh, hey, at Christmas time and every time of the year, may God give us compassion for others. May God truly bless. And by the way, may God give us compassion for those that are in their condition. You know what man without Christ is? Lost. You know what he needs? The gospel. You know who God's entrusted the gospel to? Us. You know what we need to do? Preach the gospel to every creature. Carry gospel tracts, personal witness, all that. So there's a condition, the compassion. And then we see the controversy at the end of verse 2. It says, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, you say, why is that controversial? Well, the Pharisees said, well, who can forgive sins but God alone? That's correct. About one of the few correct things the Pharisees said. Amen. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But who was standing there? God in the flesh. And so there was a controversy. And then, of course, there's a criticism. Verse 3, it says, this man blasphemeth. Not only is there a criticism, but then Jesus makes a clarification. Verses 4 through 6, he says, wherefore think ye evil in your heart? Whether it is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or arise and walk. And I love verse 6. What's the reason for this? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, go into thy house. The condition, the compassion, the controversy, the criticism, the clarification. And then we see the confounding in verses 7 and 8. What is it? See, here was a man that was under total paralysis, took four men to carry him, and he arose and departed to his house. And I don't know what he said. The Bible doesn't say. But I would assume it was hallelujah, glory to God, amen. All the way home, amen. And then it says in verse 8, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power to men. Look back at verse number 2. Something that Jesus said, I want to, if I can, just draw a few points out of this in the time that we have remaining. He says there, son, be of good what? Cheer. Be of good cheer. You know, Christmas is that time of cheer. Amen? It is. But can I say this? We should enjoy Christmas cheer every day of the year. We should, those of us that know Christ as our Savior, we should spread Christmas cheer every day of the year. And there's some reasons why, and we're going to take that word cheer and just follow it a little bit in the New Testament here. First of all, number one, we can spread Christmas cheer every day of the year because of God's pardon. In verse number 2, we see there, he says, son, be of good cheer. Why? Why? Why should he be of good cheer? Thy sins be forgiven thee. Number one this morning, we can have Christmas cheer every day of the year because of God's pardon. They said, hey, who can forgive sins but God alone? And we say to that, amen, Jesus Christ was God. Earlier in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 43, you remember what God said? He said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions and will not remember thy sins for my name's sake. He said, listen, I'm going to pardon your sins. I think about that. And again, to our Florida snowbirds, he says in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be green as palm trees. That's the Florida version. Amen. It says, no, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. You see, we can have Christmas cheer every day of the year because we've been forgiven of our sins. And we can spread Christmas cheer. Hey, just to know that you can be forgiven of your sins. Huh? That co-worker that's always so down and discouraged and just defeated by the devil, you could say, you know what? God is willing and ready to pardon you of your sins. I thank God for that. The forgiveness of sins. God's pardon. Amen. God's pardon. This man had an eternal problem, and his eternal problem was sin. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Son of God was manifested to put away sin for all eternity. Hey, that's something we celebrate at Christmas, the birth of Christ. What was it for? Born to die on Calvary. Born to die. What? Why? So that he could pardon us. It's amazing to think about, ladies and gentlemen. Christmas cheer every day of the year. Why? Number one, God's pardon. Secondly, go down if you would in Matthew chapter 9. Look at verse number 22. Verse number 22 of chapter 9. And it says there, but Jesus, well, verse 21 says, for she said within herself, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. I looked up that word comfort, and it's the exact same Greek word that's translated cheer. It's the word is tharseo. Tharseo means cheer. Now think about it, ladies and gentlemen. For 12 years, this woman had an issue of blood. Just constantly running and flowing to the point where she had segregated herself and she had spent all of her living on physicians and was none the better, but rather grew worse and was poorer. You say, what do we see there, Pastor? We see her life. She had known nothing but distress and conflict. Second thing we see is not only we can have Christmas cheer every day of the year because of God's pardon, but we can have Christmas cheer every day of the year because of God's peace. God's peace. She touched the hem of his garment and immediately, says in the parallel account, the flow was staunched. She was made whole. And for the first time in 12 years, she had peace. Hey, some of us remember what it was like before we got saved. I asked my Sunday school class this morning, I said, how many of you were saved before 10? And most of them were saved at a young age, but not all of us. Many of us remember those restless waves of the sea. Huh? Many of us remember that where there was no peace. And by the way, isn't that what the world is seeking for? Peace? I remember growing up in the Cold War, and I remember there was some, and it's false, amen, but they would say, peace at any price. Better red than dead. No. God can give us peace. We can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding because of what happened years ago, 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. Amen. I think of that song, Wonderful Words of Life, that last stanza. Amen. That last stanza, it says, pardon and peace for all. Wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. God's pardon, God's peace. Go with me down to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. Christmas cheer every day of the year. Why? Because of God's pardon, we've been forgiven of our sins. Because of God's peace, we can simply walk through this old wicked world and still have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Thirdly, I love this one. Matthew chapter 14, verse 20. Yeah, look down there, verse number. Yeah, look at verse 25. It says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Remember, he had sent them out to row across. It says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, and so would you be. Amen. Saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Why? It is I. Be not afraid. Why? How can we have Christmas cheer every day of the year? Because of God's pardon. We've been forgiven of our sins. Because of God's peace. Because of God's presence. Because of God's presence. Amen. Hey, they were afraid. They were fear. They were getting nowhere. And what happened? Jesus Christ Himself showed up and said, it is I. Be not afraid. In the midst of the storm, Jesus came unto them. Hey, can I whisper a couple verses that can help you? Dear one that's struggling, hurting, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Hey, we've been teaching on Wednesday nights and enjoying, oh my goodness, have I enjoyed the study of Ephesians. This week we taught on the Holy Spirit and how wonderful it is. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know what Jesus prayed in John chapter 14? He said, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Amen. Say, how can we have Christmas cheer every day of the year? I'll tell you how. Through God's pardon, because our sins have been forgiven. Through God's peace, we can have the peace that passeth all understanding. Through God's presence. They were in the midst of the storm, and He offered them what they really needed. His presence. You know, when you don't have anything else, you still got God. When you're His. You still got Him. Why? Because He made a promise never to leave you nor forsake you. You say, well, can I mess up so bad that He'll leave? Nope. No. I'm not telling you to go and sin and wreck your life because He'll chasten you. Yeah. But I'm here to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. His promise is true. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. His presence. Because of His presence in our lives, we can have Christmas cheer every day of the year. Number four, go with me to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter number 16, please. Gospel of John, chapter number 16. Christmas cheer every day of the year. Why? God's pardon. Christmas cheer every day of the year. Why? God's peace. Christmas cheer every day of the year. God's presence. Christmas cheer every day of the year. Why? John chapter 16, look at verse number 33, church. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Hey, if anyone ever tried to sell you, forgive me, the smiley bill of goods, TBN, your best life now. By the way, if your best life is now, then you're probably not heading north after death. Just a little sidebar there. I'm mean to say that, but sometimes I say things that I don't mean to say. Amen. Think about it. He says, in the world you shall have tribulation. Why? Because we're not of this world. Our home is somewhere else. We're foreign ambassadors. Amen. But then he says this, but be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. Not only God's pardon, God's peace, God's presence, but God's power in our lives. God's power. Hey, you know that you can overcome the temptations of Satan? On your own? Nope. Not a chance. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will also with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear. How can we endure the temptations? Pastor, you don't know about my besetting sins that just bother me over and over and over. No, I don't. But I know about my own, and I'm going to tell you how you overcome them through the power of God. God gives us strength and power when we need it. Christmas cheer every day of the year. God's pardon, God's peace, God's presence, God's power. Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. Here we have the Apostle Paul, and he's in Jerusalem. He's preaching. It's a very interesting story, just how cunning that Paul was. If you know the story of the Apostle Paul, and he saw here that there were some Pharisees and Sadducees, and by the way, they both hated gospel preaching, but he said, I'm going to use this to my advantage, and kind of pitting one against the other. But he says, look at verse number 11. He says, in the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer. Same word, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. Christmas cheer each day of the year. Why? Because of God's pardon, yes. God's peace, yes. God's presence, yes. God's power, yes. What do we see here, Pastor? I say we see God's protection. God's protection. I remember hearing stories, missionary stories, that would just amaze you and I. I remember hearing a story of a missionary, and he talked about how they were coming back from a village in Africa, and they were moving along, and it became obvious for the case they weren't going to be able to make it home. And the area that they were in was literally infested with lions. They were everywhere. And I remember this missionary telling the story, said, we're not going to make it back. We need to get up in this tree and tie ourselves on and sleep in the tree. And let's take a trip to Africa, by the way. Amen. Where do we go? Oh, amen. And I remember him telling that story, and it was just incredible. It was just absolutely incredible. And he said, you know what happened that night? He said, literally, we heard the lions. We heard them growling, circling. But God protected us. Hey, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I know this. I've been protected by God many a time. There's an old chick track. I remember when I first got saved through a chick track, and I got there was like an assortment pack they would send out. There's an old chick track called The Assignment. Anybody ever read that one? The Assignment? It's so good. And what it talks about is a man that has an appointment to try to witness to another man. But Brother Mark, you see the spiritual battle that's going on all around. This one man's trying to go, and Satan and his hordes are trying to distract him. By the way, they still do that. Try to distract us from doing what God would have us to do. And there's the this man's angel that's protecting him and guiding him and helping him. And he ends up being able to get to the man in time and witness to him. I think about God's protection in my own life. Think about times where you maybe delayed at the light turned green and you delayed for just a second. Normally you'd have been barrel right through it, but you delayed for just a second and all of a sudden a dump truck came rolling through that intersection. How many times? Hey, listen, God promised Paul, he said, hey, look, you testify to me in Jerusalem, I'll get you to Rome. Vance Havner said this. He said, we're all immortal until God's done with us. God's protection. Why can we have Christmas cheer every day of the year? Because if you're a child of God, you have God's pardon. You can have God's peace. You can have God's presence and do have His presence. You can have God's power. You have God's protection. And I love this last point. Acts chapter 27. Those of you with Bible searches on your phone, you probably beat me to the punch here. Amen. I know some people use their phone in the morning with the Bible. But boy, I love this one right here. Acts chapter 27. This is the story of Paul in the shipwreck. Remember that? And look down at verse number... look at verse 20. It says, "When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, there was no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." That certainly says to God's protection. "For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given them all that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." God's pardon, God's peace, God's presence, God's power, God's protection, and God's promises. You know what he said? He said, "I believe it's going to be just like God said." Ladies and gentlemen, we're celebrating the Christmas season. You know what the Christmas season tells me more than anything else? You say, "Wow, the love of God, absolutely that." But it tells me this, Miss Cindy, that God keeps His promises. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, the fall of man. Remember the story. Satan tempted Eve. Eve took of the fruit, gave it to her husband. Man fell. What did God say? He said, "I'm going to raise up a seed, the seed of a woman. And Satan's going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise his head. He's going to wound him mortally." That was the first promise of God of a redeemer. And then in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, 700 years before Jesus was born, the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. That was a promise of God. And I wonder how many people through the years said, "I've heard that since I was a boy. My grandparents believed that, but it still never happened. Still never happened." Micah tells us in chapter 5, verse 2, that Jesus, that everlasting king, would be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah, very specifically. And age goes on to age, goes on to age. Empire after empire comes on the scene. And then comes this little empire that started on the Tiber River that we know of as Rome. And Rome began to build roads that connected the world. And they conquered the Judean people. And old Caesar Augustus said, "You know what? I've got an idea. I think we should tax all these people. And they should go unto the city that they're from." Meanwhile, God worked in a little virgin named Mary. And the Holy Ghost conceived a child. And they made their way unto Bethlehem, slow trek. And there we know what happened, in a manger, because there was no room at the inn, that the Son of God was born. You know what that tells me, ladies and gentlemen? I can have Christmas cheer because of God's promises. He said a virgin would conceive, and she did. He said he would be born in Bethlehem, and he did. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? He said a lot more. Didn't he? He said he'd come again. Huh? Take us home. Hey, cheer is not just for Christmas. I'm glad for it. I enjoy it. I really do. I love the Christmas season. I love the cheer. But you know what? For the child of God, we can have Christmas cheer every day of the year. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us and your blessings. For Christmas cheer. Lord, thank you. I pray that you'd please.